Turn in your Bibles today to the book of Romans. How many appreciate our worship team as well? Yeah, they're awesome. And we had a few of our worship team get sick with flu, cold, and a couple of COVID cases all in the last several days. And they had to put together, they're just like pulling together from the few musicians that we have. We had our youth ministry involved. We had all kinds of things involved. Listen, God is doing amazing things. And God is doing amazing things in our church in growing up and raising up a generation. And his anointing today, we have people out of town. We have a lot of people that have just are gone in different places. And even my son, who specifically texted me this morning, my son Adam, and said to give him a shout out today because he's watching on live stream because he's stuck at home battling with COVID stuff and things like that as well. So can we just keep all these folks in your prayers this week? That'll be so good. But it's awesome. And so Kenny, I'm good for you to go ahead and get this thing set up for me. And I want to jump into this message today. How many want to be fruitful in your life? You want to be fruitful? How many want to be blessed? I mean, some of you aren't raising your hand. I don't want to be the opposite of blessed. Amen. What's the opposite of blessed? We don't want to be that. But I mean, how many want to be genuinely blessed? I don't just want to live an experience. I don't just want to be touched by God. And I praise God for experiences and touches and moments. And I thank God for the atmosphere of worship where God comes into the atmosphere. But I want to be transformed. Here's the thing, and listen closely. You cannot encounter Jesus and be the same after you encounter him. You cannot see him and be the same. Something, when you really see Jesus, something will always change in you. And that's something towards fruitfulness. But here's the thing. You can only be fruitful according to the understanding of what is in you. Now, I want you to hear that because that's what you're going to be working from your entire life. You're not going to be working from what's outside of you. You're going to be working from responding fruitful to the context of what's inside of you. So as a church even, we can only be fruitful according to the understanding of our nature and our potential as a local body. God has called us to do certain things. He's called us to be fruitful in certain areas, but I want you to know that transformation begins at the core. I want everybody to say those words. Say, at the core. That's where it begins. And the more you understand what's inside of you and what's in the core of your purpose, and like I said before when we were praying over these babies, listen, if you're still alive and breathing, God's not finished with you yet. You still have unfulfilled purpose and destiny that you've got to walk out. You don't have to decide it. God already decided it, the Bible said, but you have to discover it and walk it out. Don't just give up and just throw up your hands and sit back. Come on, there's purpose on the inside of you. There's things, right? And I know some people have said, well, Pastor Lynn, you don't understand what's happened in my life. You don't understand what I've done. If you knew all the things that have happened to me that's happened, listen, don't waste that. If you've been through some stuff, don't waste that. Use that. There's something inside of you. So I want you to look at the book of Romans chapter 12. And I want you to look right at verse 2. And I want to focus this message foundation on this one verse today. And it says this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now listen, I want you to know something today. In your life, you're either going to conform or you're going to transform. And there's a lot of things and trends and in issues, problems, good things, bad things that this world brings. It seems like the transitions around us happen faster than we can keep up with, to the point we don't even really know how to respond, or if we respond, what good it will do. Listen, you can either conform or transform. Do you hear me today? You're being quiet today. You're being a little too quiet. It's scaring me. Listen, God has something for you. And if you think of your mind, everybody point to your mind. This is going to be an interactive message today. Everybody point to your mind. Listen, if you think of your mind as a steering wheel that can change the direction of your life, then you transform your life by the way you turn your mind. And if you're going to transform it according to God's purposes, you have to steer it according to God's purposes. But it begins inside, not outside. It is no coincidence that you came into this world head first. At least most of you probably. Come on, if you want to break a habit, if you're dealing with something in your life, if you have to do it in your head before you do it physically. You're going to have to succeed in your mind before you succeed physically. If you decide, well, I'm not going to be promiscuous, I'm not going to follow this addiction, I'm not going to live an immoral lifestyle, whatever it is, the change has to start in your mind. Otherwise, what do you end up doing? Trying harder and failing. And then we get into guilt and shame. And then we go back to the thing that we're trying to break free from. And these cycles happen in our life, right? Because we didn't let the change happen inside before it happened outside. We just try for behavior modification. Most counseling processes, I guess I would say, are built around behavior modification. You either got to learn how to modify your behavior or learn how to cope with the issue that you can't get rid of. But I serve a God that hits us beyond the ability to cope, beyond the ability to try to temporarily modify my behavior. I live with a God that can transform me on the inside. Amen? He can change something. I can actually be free of things. Amen? So if you decide I'm going to get out of debt, guess what? It has to hit your head before it hits your wallet. Right? If you decide I'm going to lose weight, I got to get skinny in my head before I get skinny in my body. Come on, look at somebody next to you and say, I got a skinny head. Amen. It may not have hit my body yet, but in my head, I am one trim fit dude. Listen, I want you to know that. If it doesn't start, I'll move on past that. If it doesn't start up here, it doesn't matter what's here, right? It doesn't matter what's going on. You can lose weight in your body and still have an image in your head that you're overweight. They call that anorexia. And you can die from it. What am I saying to you? I'm saying that you can die from an image in your mind. Now, that's pretty powerful. So if that's the truth, then we need to focus on what's inside here so God can transform things outside. And you can have all kinds of things going on in your head. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life, because really, ultimately, what's going on in your head is what will become your reality. In other words, your actions are directly connected to your thinking. That's very important to understand. That's worth tweeting or Instagramming right there. Your actions are a result of your thinking. And our problems are often rooted in thinking patterns that produce the problems. So when transformation happens, the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 12 that transformation begins by the renewing of my mind. So as long as we're on this earth, we're going to deal with our mind. So in order to become what we need to become, we first have to get it through our head. That's the title of my message today. Come on, I want you to say, get it through our head. This is important. Turn to somebody next to you. Say, get it through your head. Turn to somebody else. Say it again. Get it through your head. Come on. I'm telling you, if you don't get it through here, you're not going to experience it out here. Have you noticed that the condition of your mind changes? Sometimes by the minute. Come on. In one moment, you might be calm and peaceful. In another moment, you become anxious and worried. One thing happens. One person cuts you off in traffic, and you go from joy to anger in 3.4 seconds, right? You might make one decision and be sure about it, and then later you get confused and you're concerned about the very thing that you were previously so clear about, right? There are times in my life, listen, I'm being real with you today. There are times in my life that I can believe God with no trouble, and I've seen God do some amazing things in my life. But there are other times where doubt and unbelief torment me mercilessly. Can anybody relate to that? There are the things like Paul said in Romans chapter 7 a few chapters back, where he said, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I do. I sometimes wonder, when is my mind normal? It's always all over the place. The problem is we have to learn what normal thinking is. Why? Because abnormal thinking becomes normal in our lives once we get used to it. Once we get this idea that it's just not going to change, abnormal thinking becomes normal. And then we're not steering our life in the direction of our purpose. And that's exactly what the enemy wants for you. The enemy's okay if you live as long as you don't walk out your purpose. He's okay if you do stuff, if you're excited about what you're excited about, as long as you don't walk out your destiny. You see, that's all he wants to stop. And so guess where he's hitting you? He's hitting you up here in your mind, in areas that aren't renewed, in areas that he is implanting abnormal thinking and telling you it's normal. It's important that you understand that's why God has to renew us in our mind by his word. So we either conform or transform. It's one or the other. You're either going to conform or you're going to transform. So I brought these apples to use as a metaphor. And there's all different kinds of apples, different shapes and colors of apples. But they're all apples. So even though they look different, there's no two of them that look exactly alike, they all share the same nature, right? They have the same apple nature. And the only way you can change the nature of what this apple is by changing the core of what it is to become something different. And actually, you and me can't even do that because that nature has been put in it. So the goal is to take this apple, the goal of any fruit, but I'm using this apple. So the goal of this apple is to take what's inside of it and turn it into a tree. That's what this apple's about, right? How many know there is no reproductive life in the peeling of the apple? I'm going to say that again, and you're going to get this in a second. Some of you already know where I'm going. There is no reproductive life in the peeling of the apple. None, right? There's no reproductive life in the fruit of the apple, the part that we like to eat. But the reproductive life only exists in the seed, in the core. And all the rest of this apple exists really, by creation, this whole apple exists to take care of the seed. That's the whole purpose of this. Now, we enjoy eating the fruit, but the fruit was not in its primary purpose just assigned for us for food. The fruit is actually designed by the Creator to take care of the seed. Everything in and around your life is there to help take care of the seed. You have to understand that. That's true of you. That's true of me. You can change your clothes. You can change your hair. You can change your Facebook image. You can even go change your name. You can change your title. You can change your job. You can change everything around you. But if you don't change in the core, you haven't changed. If you don't change on the inside, where the seeds are, then you haven't changed. It's so important. So transformation happens from inside the core. You are only going to be transformed to the degree and design that you were created by God. That's why you need to figure out what it is in your core that God created. Why are you alive? Listen, no matter how much you may like tomatoes, if you like tomatoes and you eat tomatoes, when you get to the seed, all that you can do with a tomato seed is turn it into more tomatoes. Because a seed, all it's going to become is a different or higher expression of itself. So what you reproduce from your core is going to be a different or higher expression of who you are. Now you can take an apple seed and you can turn it into an apple tree. It could make an apple blossom. It can become a different variety of apple, but it can't turn into a banana. You hear what I'm saying? So there are some things that you might be trying to become that are not central to who God called you to be. But you're excited about it. You're passionate about it. Something happened. You had an experience. And so you're living out of the urge of the experience, and you're not living out of the core of your purpose. And what happens is you end up frustrated, constantly hitting brick walls, constantly feeling like you're not going anywhere until you finally give up, which is exactly what the devil wants you to do. And there might be somebody here, somebody listening online, that I'm talking to you today. So God tells us why we need to be transformed. You don't just need to be transformed so you can have that purpose and destiny come out. But the Bible says in that same verse we just read, Romans 12:2, why you need to be transformed. It says so that you can prove. Everybody say prove. So you can prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Now, a lot of times we talk about good, acceptable, perfect will of God when we're studying this scripture, but I want you to focus on the word prove, because that's really important. What that means is God wants your life to prove what he had in mind when he created you. God wants your life to prove what he had in mind when he created you. In other words, God wants you to shine at what you were created to be. And when we think about God's will for our lives, oftentimes we only think about it in spiritual terms. But God's perfect will for your life is complete. It's holistic. It does not just apply to you spiritually, but it applies to you personally, and it applies to you relationally, and it applies to you professionally. And if you don't deal with the core, you're going to have problems in every area of your life that are going to be difficult to resolve. So you have to understand God's perfect will for you, his perfect design in every dimension, because the outflow of your life should prove something about who God is in relation to you. It should prove something about what God created in you to walk out and fulfill, about where God created you to be fruitful. Are you with me today? Is this helping you? Come on. We're going to go a little deeper. You have to understand God's will, his design. So when you seek out a new career or job, you need to know who you are designed to be. Take it on a practical level. Don't get yourself moving in a direction God did not make you move in or create you to move in. Now, God, if you still pursue him, he'll get you where you're going eventually, but you may have to go around a huge detour. The same thing applies in your relationship. People approach relationships so much without even considering their God-given design and calling. Some people only look at relationships physically. Some people see relationships spiritually. Well, God brought them into my life. They're the one. She's the one. He's the one. Some look at them emotionally. Do we have chemistry? But if you don't get to the core of the purpose of God in your life and the core of the purpose in that person's life, you might be trying to build a relationship with somebody that's not going to get you easily to the destination that God has for you. But and so because you didn't consider God's design to begin with, you spend the next 10 or 20 years trying to change somebody you married into something they're not. You hear me? So you have to understand who you are so that you only put your efforts in what is central to your nature. Then the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God can be revealed in you. The problem comes when you get so busy trying to know everything about everybody else that you don't even know yourself. I see this all the time. Social media is littered with it. It literally makes me laugh and shake my head. I'm like, these people are so busybodies into everybody else's attitudes and reactions and responses and likes and everything. They don't even know who they are. And they're spinning, wandering around, going in a direction that God never designed them to go in, doing things that are completely unfruitful, unproductive, not changing anybody or anything, because they're not steering their inside in the direction that God called them to go in. It's so important. A lot of times the reason we have problems in our relationships with other people is that we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves. And if you don't know who you are, I told you I'm getting deeper. Listen, if you don't understand who you are, it's going to affect your friendships, your relationships, your marriage. It's going to affect other things in your life, business relationships. Because of that, you don't know where to connect. You don't know what you need because you don't fully understand who you are on the inside. So you're trying to fulfill something and you don't even know what it is. And this is important. Amen. When you don't know the seed you need, you end up picking people by their outer peelings. You judge people by their outer peelings. We have a whole cultural trend that's peeling based. And it's superficial and shallow and nonsense, and God did not create us that way. He created the peelings, but I'm more than my peeling. Right? Come on, you're not hearing me yet, but you're going to. You pick people by their peelings and never get down to the core. In fact, you don't recognize the core because you don't know who you are. And when you don't know who you are, you don't know who to pick. You don't know where to work. You don't know what business to go in. You don't know what direction, what next step to make. You don't know the thing that God is really pushing you toward because everything gets blurry because I'm just focused on the peelings around me. You end up going to business chasing money, but you ought to be chasing purpose. Because when you find your purpose, prosperity will come with that. You see, it's so important. You might have spent the first few years of your life in peeling positions, peeling people, peeling jobs, peeling ministries, peeling relationships. Why? Because peelings are appealing. Come on, say it. Say, peelings are appealing. That's what we see, right? That's why these apples, when they come off the tree, are not this shiny. They put them through a process. They clean them. They put like wax and polish these things to make them look all delicious and shiny. Why? Because peelings are appealing. And then most of us don't even eat the peeling, right? Just because something is appealing aesthetically, just because something is appealing monetarily, just because something is appealing relationally, does not mean it is central to the core. But when you do it from the core, it's going to work. It's going to fit. You might be challenged, but it'll be the right fit for you. It's going to be in the realm of your true nature to perform what is expected of you when you function central to your design. It's not hard to walk out the expectations that you have in your life if you're functioning according to your design. But when you're trying to be somebody different than you are, you change your peelings, you put on these masks, and masks don't always come in physical forms. They come in attitude, personalities, things that we adjust ourselves. Because I don't want to be rejected, or I want to have this opportunity. We become opportunists, and we're working by our peelings instead of by our core. A lot of issues today with sexual identity and sexual identity confusion. But can I tell you something? There's also such a thing as spiritual identity confusion. Some of you are spiritual cross-dressers. You're trying to fit an identity that God never intended for your life. I go in some churches, I could make a spiritual drag queen show. I'm not even joking, because people so function differently than how God called them to function, because they feel like if I don't function this way or glamorize this part of my life that has nothing to do with my core, that people aren't going to accept me, or I'm not going to have the opportunity, or whatever. And it comes on the inside of us. We don't always think that overtly. Sometimes it's internal stuff, and we end up functioning and walking in an identity that God never created for us. This is our entire generation. And if we don't get a hold of Jesus, listen, if we don't get a hold of Jesus in the core of who we are, we cannot transform the generation that's around us, which, if you haven't noticed, is disintegrating at a rapid rate. It's so important. In business terminology, it's called a brand, right? What is a brand? A brand is a promise to the consumer what to expect when they go into the store or when they acquire the product, right? KFC has a phrase. They say, "We do chicken right." And whether you think they do chicken right or not is irrelevant. What that means is, if you're looking for a hamburger, don't come in here. Because this advertises who we are. They're clear about what they do. So anyway, I want to jump into one story, and I'm not going to preach the story. I want to use the story as an illustration, and it's in Luke chapter 15. It's a story that a lot of you may be familiar with, because it's called the prodigal son. And Pastor Tim preached several weeks ago out of this story, and it was a powerful story. But I want to use this story to illustrate today. So the story is actually a parable that Jesus was telling, because Jesus was using the same story as an illustration. And I want to just read it to you. It's in Luke 15. He said this: "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. I want my inheritance early.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a faraway country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal or excessive living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land." How many know that in the moment when you think things are going good, a little bit down the road, you're always going to encounter a famine or two? You have to always know that there's seasons of plenty and there's seasons of lack, and you have to be prepared to function in both. Said, "And he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine." Now, understand that this story Jesus is telling is a story about a Jewish boy to Jewish people who did not interact with pigs, or they didn't do pig farming. So now he's in a place that's completely disconnected to his identity. Look at this. "And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything." And I love this. Verse 17 is my favorite verse of the story. "But when he came to himself," the New Living Translation, I read a minute, says, "when he came to his senses, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I am dying of hunger? I'm going to arise and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So this is the story. But back in verse 17, the New Living Translation says, "When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, 'Even hired servants have food to spare.'" There was an urge inside of the prodigal son that made him want to leave home. It was a craving for control and recognition. It was a craving to have something and experience something that he felt like was taken away, that he was being deprived of. And whatever we feel deprived of becomes an urge in ourselves, and we'll find justifications and reasons why we are owed that thing that we are deprived of. And if the enemy gets a hold of that in you, he will lead you in a wrong direction. So it was this urge that made the prodigal son want to leave home, a craving for control, a craving for desire and recognition. We all have urges, but these urges led the son out of the father's house. The urges led the son out of the father's house, out of the father's will, out of the father's purpose, away from the father's values, away from his brand. You see, what urges force you to serve them and serve them and serve them until they destroy you. That's what urges do. They force you to go after them and go after them until they kill you. Urges always end up depleting you. And I want you to hear this, because urges are temporary impulses. They are not directional purpose. They are temporary impulses that can cause you to make permanent changes that then lead you to destruction. Urges are temporary impulses that cause you to make permanent changes. So impulse changes often will disrupt the valuable things in your life, all the way down to the hog pen. This boy followed until he ended up with a bunch of pigs. There are people in this room that you've been spiraling downward. You can't find a way to get that spiral moving upward. You're praying all the way down. You're coming to church, and you can't figure out why you're spiraling down. Here's the thing. You're praying right, but you're being led by your urges instead of your purpose. You gave into the offering, but then you went to work, and you flipped out on your boss, and your urge to speak your mind and get the last word destroyed your opportunity for promotion. You see, even when you pay your tithes, you can go down if you're led by your urges instead of led by obedience to the purpose of God in your life. You can pray one thing with your mouth and be led by something else in your life. So it's not just our prayer, and prayer is very important, but it's prayer tied into obedience. Obedience connected to my nature and identity. Then you try to figure out why your prayer is not working. Prayer isn't working because your urges are driving the car and you're riding in the back seat. Listen, by an urge, the prodigal son demanded his inheritance. The father divided up the portion, and the Bible says he immediately began to spend it on riotous living. Spend, 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 spend. Urges will always make you spend out of yourself. You'll spend more and gain less in your life because urges are making withdrawals and purpose isn't making any deposits. So he finally bankrupts and ends up eating pig food in the hog pen. And if you don't have the courage to assess your own situation and see where things in your life are depleting, you could end up in the hog pen with the pigs wondering, how did I get here? You hear me? If you've gone from the Father's house, you're going to end up in fellowship with hogs. If you're gone from the Father's house, you end up in fellowship with the hogs. And the enemy will do whatever he can to disconnect you from the family God has already made you a part of. The enemy will do whatever he can to make you feel like you're not a part, feel like you're rejected, feel like you're not accepted, feel like you're alone, feel like this, because he wants you out of the house. And God says, I've called you to be in the house. This is Peter. Listen, look at those around you, because those around you might be a picture of you. Well, that was a little uncomfortable, Pastor Lynn. Listen, I can tell a lot about you when I read your social media. For a lot of people, it's a mask that they hide behind that makes them feel empowered, but the real you shines through. Let me look at your cell phone. I can tell a lot about you by just looking at your cell phone. In fact, between your cell phone and your credit card, I don't even have to meet you to know you. Because what you express, how you spend your time, how you spend your money, who you talk to will always reveal what's truly valuable to you. It'll reveal what your priorities are. And when your priorities and your decisions line up more with your urges than they do with your purpose, you'll end up stuck right where you are, going nowhere and affecting nothing. You can try harder to be more effective and take more opportunities, and you'll still end up in the same place if you are disconnected from the Father's house and the Father's purpose in your life. I'm telling you. When the lost son had come to his end, when he was without any option, there was something deep inside of him. The first thing that happened when he came to his senses is he thought about the Father's house. Focusing on the Father's house is the only way you can get transformed. That was good. I'm going to say it again. Focusing on the Father's house is the only way you can get transformed. Nothing had changed in the natural. He still had the same surroundings. He was still separated from his father. He was still in the same clothes. He was still eating the same pig food with flies flying around his head. But something inside had changed. And when something inside really changes, it will affect everything outside of you. Nothing in his geography, nothing in his circumstances changed to get him back on course. All he had to do to get free from his situation was change his mind. When he came to his senses, what is holding you back from the place God has called you to go? What is keeping you from transforming? Could it be that your attitude is overriding your altitude? Whatever you need to change, you've got to get it through your head. You can't change the house or change your kids or change your situation, but you can change your mind. You can't always change the circumstances. You can't change society, but you can change your mind. When the prodigal son changed his mind, it changed his life. It activated transformation. In the darkest moment, something begins to pull him back to the Father's house. Ooh, let's talk about that for a minute. Let's talk about the dark place. Let's talk about that. This cocoon of transformation. You see, discovering something new, enlightenment, getting more money, finding a solution, does not bring about change or transformation. You have to get to the seed. You have to get to the seed. But the seed cannot germinate in the light. Do you hear me? The only place that the seed can be transformed is when you have the faith and the courage to let it germinate in the dark place where you don't see anything. You don't see any opportunity. You don't have anything but faith in God. The dark place is the moment, the place of transformation, the place of germination. It's where everything comes to an end. It's where death becomes life again. And let me tell you, there's a deep place, men and women of God, listen, there is a deep place, a dark place that God always reserves for you to plant his seed. Now, you don't hear much teaching about this, but I want you to get this because this is absolutely true every single time. There is a deep, dark place that God will plant his seed. And the potential, why? Because the potential of the seed is always released in the dark place. Maybe you've been praying for God to remove the dark place in your life, but God says, first, before I remove it, I want to use it to germinate the seed that's in you. Man, I feel the Spirit of God on this right now. I don't know who this is speaking to right now, but this is speaking to somebody like a prophetic word. The dark place is beyond your ability to control. The dark place, all your priorities change. The dark place strips away the residue of your flesh. It brings you to your knees. It's a place of humility where you have to absolutely surrender everything. Everything. Because of the pain of your dark place, you'll start to listen and hear where you couldn't hear before. It humbles arrogance that I have the ability, I can make this happen. I'm going to look out for number one. And it allows the transformation to occur. That's what germinates the seed, the dark place. You endure the dark place not because you don't have something, but because you do have something. There's too much inside of you. Some of you are in positions, you've just walked through things, you're walking through something. Listen, some of you are in a position right now, you're so frustrated, but that is right where God wants you because there is too much in you to leave you on the shelf with an unfruitful seed. That's what germinates you. Listen, you can't develop out here where everybody sees. You can only develop in the dark place. So God takes your seed and he puts it in a hole and he covers it up with dirt. And that's where it germinates. In John chapter 12, 24, you don't have to turn there. Jesus said these words. He said, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies in the ground, it'll break open and it'll produce much grain. When the seed in you is allowed to come to the dark place, completely empty, no more options, no more opportunities, no more things that I can do for myself. It's just me and God. It's just me and him. And I have to come to a place that is so hard because I have to let go and totally trust God. Knowing theoretically that if I die, there's a resurrection beyond it, but laying there in the dark place with the question, if I die, will I rise again? Somebody's right there. I feel the presence of God on this right now. But you have to understand that you can't see what God is germinating in you. You don't see it yet, but it's germinating. There's others of you. How many could wave your hand besides me? And you've been in that dark place and you've seen the fruit from it in your life. Come on. It was hard. There's things I still don't understand. But there was fruitfulness that came out of it. Somehow, by God's amazing power and grace, he germinates this seed inside of me. That's where life is produced. That's where the seed goes through transformation. It's where life begins to form. No life forms outside of a womb. Do you hear me? A womb is to the baby what a ground is to a seed. There's no light in the womb. The dark place is the place where everything with purpose emerges. That's why God said in creation, he said the evening and the morning were the first day, because God didn't start in the light, he starts in the darkness. That's why Psalm 30 and verse 5 says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Come on. You can cry in the dark place so that you can dance in the daylight. Come on, somebody, you're crying in the dark place. But morning is coming. Get ready to dance. Come on. There's somebody here in the dark place. You don't think anybody knows how bad you're hurting. You don't think anybody gets you. You're in the dark place. So I'm going to wrap this up here in a second. Land this plane today. So back to this apple. This apple, as good as it is, will never be at its highest and best expression of itself in its current form. Do you hear me? The reason it won't be is because we can't see the potential and purpose inside the apple in the form that it is. You don't see it, but there is a tree inside this apple. You don't see it, but there are literally thousands of apples inside of this apple. There are things in you you don't see because you're looking at yourself in present form, but you don't understand. If you'll let the seed inside of you germinate, there are things inside of you that will blow your mind, not because of the next opportunity, but because who you are came to life. I have some peelings up here. Peelings. What would happen if I took these peelings and I buried them? Would I get a tree out of it? Yeah. It makes the ground more fertile. It would rot away. Why? It's from the apple. Why would it not produce what it is after? I have some flesh in, I have some flesh of the apple here. I have some flesh. Right? And the flesh of this apple is good. It is. I know some of you are hungry right now too. You're like, pray, Pastor, we want to go to lunch. Listen, this is too good. This is too good. You got to get a hold of this, and then your lunch is going to be 10 times better, I promise. Come on. The flesh is this best tasting part of the apple, but what if I buried the flesh of this apple in a hole? Would it give me an apple tree? Would that give me more apples? I have to go deeper. I have to cut into the apple all the way to the core, and all of a sudden, there it is. There's the seed. See, what you want to do is get past all of this fleshy stuff on the outside and get down to the core where you can see the seeds. God has an incredible way of helping you with that process. He is. He can help you with that process because all of that fleshy stuff isn't just for you to enjoy. It's actually there to take care of the seed. All of the peelings in your life, by the way, are not just there to look at or to build your life around. It's there to take care of the seed. You have to build your life around the seed. This is what the world doesn't get. They can't get it. You can only get it when you understand the creator that created you. It's him, right? You're not your own. When you come to the Lord, the Bible says you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're his. You belong to him. Whatever happens to you is to him, you're his. But it's the seed in you that he's after. Your future is in your seed, which is beneath the flesh of the core of who you are. None of this other stuff is as important as the seed. Listen, you can cut down to it or you can rot down to it, but until you get to the core, you're never going to see your purpose manifest. You can let God cut away and get to it faster, or you can go through a slow rotting away process until you just don't have anything left, like the prodigal son, and get to it that way and come to your senses. But until you get to that seed, the meaning and purpose of your life is never going to be revealed. You have to see where you are right now. Listen to me, men and women of God. You have to see where you are right now as an incubator. You're not at your destination. You're in your transportation. God's taking you somewhere. God's taking you somewhere. Every one of you sitting here, listen, you don't even know it. Some of you don't even see it, but God's taking you somewhere. There is divine instinct on the inside of you that's leading you somewhere. And there's an enemy of your soul trying to intercept in your mind to get you to steer in a different direction than where the Spirit of God is leading you. So how do I ingest, digest, and develop what God has appropriated inside of me? Cognition. We actually made a word out of cognition. We put a prefix on it, recognition. Recognition. Recognizing cognition, recognizing where you are and where you're going. If you don't recognize, come on, I'm talking about your cognitive skills. Get this through your head. I'm talking about this up here, connecting to God up there to get your life moving over here where God has called you to go. That's what I'm talking about. It's recognition. And are you learning what you need to be learning about your life and your purpose? Are you letting go in the dark place? Are you still disabled in your capacity to recognize where you are and what's going on the inside of you? I'm here today to bring this message so that you will recognize what God is saying to you. This is a word from the Lord for you, from His word. Be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that your life can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. God is bringing somebody out of their dark place today. He's bringing somebody back to their purpose today. I just ignited something. I saw it like a fire spark went off in a couple of people's hearts. I saw it right now. God is bringing back your purpose. He is bringing you back to the Father's house. But before you can progress, you have to get it through your head. You have to get it through your head. You have to get it through your mind. You have to get it in your thoughts. There is a purpose God started within you that He's bringing you back to. It's not mind over matter. It's mind alignment with God's purpose, right? He wants you to flourish. He wants you to be fruitful. And I'll end. I'm really ending, I promise, with this story. And it's a story I've used in illustration probably a dozen times over the years of preaching. And it's one of the most fascinating things about God's creation that nobody understands. You ever seen butterflies, the yellow and black ones called monarch butterflies? The monarch butterfly is amazing. The monarch will fly, a butterfly will fly 3,000 miles from Canada to Mexico when the weather gets cold. There in Mexico, the monarch will mate and then it will die. Then its offspring emerges and it begins, the offspring begins to make its way back home to Canada. It will take three generations to get back to Canada. Three generations of butterflies to get back to where it started. And it finds its way back home, three generations. not only does it find its way back home, but it finds its way back to the exact tree that three generations earlier it was birthed from. It finds its way back. Nobody knows how this happens. The butterfly's offspring. And here's what I feel like God is saying. He's taking some of you back home. Some of you have had generations of problems. Others might have had generations of blessing. But wherever you are, I want you to know that God's going to get you back to the place of your destiny and your purpose. He's going to get you back to the Father's house. He's going to get you back to the place that He designed for you so that you can emerge, so that you can. You're in the process. Don't resist the process. Don't make a rash decision. Let God's Spirit be your leader. Connect to the Father's house. Leave all the preconceived ideas, everything up here, and let God renew your mind, because it's never the way that you think it's going to be. The very thing you're trying to get away from, the very place God may want you to be. I will say that again. Come on. The very place that you might be trying to get away from might be the very place God wants you to be. God's bringing prodigals back home. You tried to get away. Listen, God's bringing prodigals back home, back to Himself. And like the prodigal son, when God begins to transform you in your thinking, there's something inside of you that will lead you back home. Generation after generation. Some of you have children, you feel like, man, they've gone way off astray. Listen, trust God. Trust the Lord and watch what He will do. There's a process happening that you can't see. Come on, God was big enough to find you and get you straightened out. Amen. He's big enough for your husband, your wife, your kids, your job. He is. Close your eyes with me right now. I know I've taken a long time, but I really wanted to speak this word into you. And I pray that it is going to resonate in you. I don't want this to just go in one ear and out the other. I want this to resonate in you. I want you to remember that it's about the core. I want you to remember every time you take a piece of fruit or a vegetable in your hand and you see a seed, I want you to remember that there's a seed on the inside of you. Come on, Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You right now for every man, every woman, every young person here, every destiny that's represented in this room, every place of purpose that's represented in this room right now. Lord, I thank You, God, that You just are cultivating something on the inside of us. I want you to stand up to your feet with me. I'm not going to keep you long. Just hang with me one more moment, because I want to pray for you. There's somebody here today. There's more than one somebody here today that you feel like you're in the dark place. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. You may not even know how you got there, but you know you're in the dark place. But today, God spoke to you when I started talking about that, when I showed you that little bucket of dirt. There's something that resonated in you, that God's germinating something in you. And you're like, God, I need to let go. I want God to do His work in the dark place in me, whatever it needs to be. If that's you and you're in the dark place, I want you to get out of your seat right now. I want you to just walk down to the front, because I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you, and I believe that God's hand is coming upon you right now. Some of you here, maybe you're not in the dark place, but maybe there's been things that you've been focusing on, and God says, I want to shift your focus. I want to take you deeper. I'm bringing you to the core, to the seed. If that's you, I want you to come right now. There's some of you here, I don't know who this one is for, but somebody has a promise of God that has not been fulfilled. And it's been so long, you almost are about to give up on it. Who is that? You almost feel like I'm about to give up on what God had spoken to me or did in me many years ago. If that's you, I want you to come down right now. I want His hand to touch you. He's going to reawaken your faith for that destiny, for that purpose, for that promise. It's not too late. There are things God has called you. There might be somebody here, you're like, I just need to get my life right with God. I need to get something right. I just need to get back in alignment with Him. Your mind, your thinking, it needs to be in alignment with God and His Word today. If that's you, I want you to come down. I'm going to pray for all of this right now. And our ministry team is going to come up and we're going to just stand with you right now. If you just came right now, it's not too late. If you're still here, if you're watching online right now, I want you to stop. Whatever you're doing, stop right now. And I want you to stop with me. And I want you to join in this moment because God is going to do something right where you are in your living room, wherever you're listening to this or watching this right now. So just raise your hands. When I raise my hands, that's a sign. That's like a universal sign of I surrender. Come on, just raise your hands up. God, I don't even know how to surrender. I don't know how to let go, but I'm raising my hands up, God. This is you. Take from me and put in me whatever needs to be taken or replaced or put in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for every person right now with their hands raised, Jesus. Every person, God, Lord, that are walking through things right now in the name of Jesus, God, that you are strengthening them from their inner man, from their core, God. Lord, that they're walking after their purpose. They're walking after their destiny today. And every lie of the enemy, every place of discouragement, every place where the enemy tried to break something down, destroy something, pull something up, things that felt hopeless, in the name of Jesus, I speak hope. I speak hope to them right now, God. Oh, I speak hope to them right now, Jesus. Come on, Holy Spirit. Lord, we look to you. We call to you today, God. Lord, I call to you. Come on. That destiny, the promises of God. I call for the promises of God to reignite and reawaken on the inside of you. Come on, don't let go. You don't even see yet what's still ahead. A door that God hasn't even opened yet that is getting ready to, come on, Lord, right now, Jesus. Lord, I release your hand of grace to work. Right now, grace, strength, right now, grace and strength on you, right now. Right now, grace and strength in Jesus' name. Right now, Lord, I call on the destiny. I don't speak to your now. I'm speaking to what's ahead in you. I'm speaking to things you haven't even seen yet, things that haven't even been unlocked yet. Come on, I pull you into it. Do not stop. Don't quit. Don't stop. Don't quit in Jesus' name. Don't back down in Jesus' name. You can't deny who you are in Jesus' name. Come on, right now. Get a hold of heaven today. Get a hold of heaven today. Jesus, Jesus, come on, Lord, I thank you for it. God, I thank you that you've begun a good work, and Lord, that you're faithful to complete it today. Lord, I thank you, Jesus, in every relationship, in every place, in every struggle, oh God. Lord, I thank you, God. Lord, we stand, God. We believe your word, and you're in control. You're in control, God. You're in control. Come on. This isn't the end of the book. Just a chapter. It's not the end of the book. It's just a chapter. Come on, Holy Spirit. You know what God's spoken to you. You can hear God. You know His word. You know His voice. You hold to that. You hold to that. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, if you're at your seats or you're watching online today, would you do me a favor just all over the auditorium? Would you just lift your hands high? Lord, I thank you, Jesus, that your blessings are overtaking us. God, I just speak life and blessing over every man, over every woman, over every family. Lord God, I thank you for what you're about to do. Jesus, I ask that you would come and touch and strengthen our lives, oh God. Lord, that you would come and surround us, God, and Lord, that you would lead us into the path of your purpose. As we walk out that door today, God, I thank you that we're walking into purpose. We're walking into destiny today, and I thank you for it, oh God, and I praise you for it today. Thank you for everyone that's here. Thank you for everyone watching online today. Lord, I just release blessings right now. Lord, across every live streaming platform to every person listening, in the name of Jesus, I speak life to them, and we thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as the worship team sings, we're just going to, we won't have a formal dismissal. We're going to continue to pray, minister. If you need prayer for anything, if you have sickness in your body, if you have a situation, we want to agree with you in prayer today. Thank you for being at Jubilee. Thank you for watching online to our live stream audience. And don't forget, next week, we got a great Sunday next week. It's Mother's Day. Don't forget your mom, all right? Don't forget your mom. We got a special day next week on Mother's Day. God bless you, and we'll see you really soon. In Jesus' name.